Next up, let's talk about the Hefeweizen or Weissbier style. Weissbier is the classical wheat beer of Bavaria and one of Germany's greatest and most distinctive beer styles. Weissbier means white beer in German. The name derives from the yellowish-white tinge that is imparted by the pale wheat and barley malts from which the beer is made. Outside of Bavaria, most Weissbier is known as Hefeweizen, literally yeast wheat in German. The name derives from the fact that it is a wheat-based beer that is usually packaged unfiltered with plenty of yeast turbidity in the finished beer. There is also a filtered version known as Kristallweizen. By German law, a beer that is labeled Hefeweizen Weissbier or Weizenbier must be made with at least 50% malted wheat. Most German Weissbiers are made with 60 to 70% malted wheat, with barley malt making up the remaining malt bill. Weissbiers are among a very few top-fermenting ales made in Bavaria, an area most famous for being the birthplace of bottom-fermenting lagers. Weissbiers are fermented by a family of closely related yeast strains that produce many of the classic flavors of the style. The proper Hefeweizen yeast is a top-fermenting Bavarian strain known as Torulospora delbrueckii. This yeast produces phenols and esters that impart banana, bubblegum, nutmeg, and clove flavors. Whereas the wheat itself gives the beer a certain lightness of the palate and a dash of acidity, the intense aromas that characterize Weissbier are all the products of fermentation by this specialized yeast. Some breweries outside of Germany, particularly in the United States, use the word Hefeweizen to describe and market beers fermented with standard ale or lager yeast. These beers are misnamed. They have no classical Hefeweizen character and should be more properly styled as American wheat beers. A true-to-style Hefeweizen ranges in color from straw to medium amber, is hopped with German noble hop varieties, and has an alcohol by volume of 4.9 to 5.6%. Besides the Hefeweizen and Kristallweizen, Weissbiers come in several other variations. Dunkelweizen, literally dark white beer, is a Weissbier made using dark rather than pale barley malt. Weizenbock is a Bock-style lager using malted wheat as part of its malt bill. There are also even rare examples of Weizen Doppelbocks and Weizen Icebocks, stronger versions of the Weizenbock. Here's an interesting note. In Germany, Hefeweizen is never served with the slices of lemon that became strangely common in the United States in the 1980s and 1990s. The aroma of the lemon overwhelms the beer's delicate aroma, and the oil of the lemon peel quickly destroys the beer's trademark head. American tourists who ask for slices of lemon in Bavarian beer gardens are generally greeted with faint smiles of pity. Hefeweizens are relatively low-intensity beers, meaning they will pair admirably with lighter summer fare. Lighter fruit dishes and shellfish, along with salads with citrus vinegar dressings, all work very well with the style. Dishes that focus on fresh herbs, olives, or rosemary also typically pair well. A personal favorite of mine is matching it up with a rich tomato and basil soup. If you're interested in trying out this style and want to find some locally produced versions, St. Elias Brewing Company currently has a Hefeweizen, served in the traditional oversized glass, in its lineup, and Kenai River Brewing offers its Honeymoon Hef year-round in cans and on draft. Looking further afield, King Street Brewing's version is available locally in cans, and several imported examples are also available in bottles as well. Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. I'm your host, Bill Howell. Up next, we've got an interview with Darcy Kniefel, the ticketing and events manager for Peak to Peak Events and a member of the Brewers Guild of Alaska Events Committee. Hello, Darcy. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. So let's talk about the Alaska Craft Brew Festival that's moving from January to August, or going to be in August and then again in January. So what's the story?
So obviously we could not do our normal beer and barley wine festival back in January. But it is a big fundraiser for the Brewers Guild of Alaska. And with everything going on this year, there's lots of things that they need to be working on. So we wanted to make sure that, first off, everyone got to drink beer. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't been to a beer festival since COVID happened. And I used to do at least 10 festivals a year. So we wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to get out, see what's going on with the breweries. I mean, we're up to almost 50 breweries in the state of Alaska. So there's lots of fun new things to taste. There's lots of fun new people to meet. And hopefully, you know, we can get everybody together again and do some beer drinking. I'm so excited. I've been looking at the beer lists as they're coming in, and I'm just like, oh, I want to try that. I want to try that. Oh, my gosh, we're going to do some fun stuff. So we're really excited to be able to have the opportunity to bring everybody together again. We did want to make sure that we were doing this as safe as possible, so we've chosen an outdoor venue. We'll be out on the park strip, the Delaney Park Strip. We've got the tail end of it there, and so we've got room for a big stage. We're going to have some vendors. We're going to have food trucks. We're going to have lawn games, and, of course, we're going to have beer like crazy. There were a couple tweaks we had to make moving from a January in Alaska festival to a August in Alaska festival. Obviously, it's not exactly peak barley wine drinking time, although I know some people will disagree with me on that. But it also wasn't peak time for the breweries to be kicking out their barley wines. So we decided to focus more on friendly summer beers. So we'll be doing a lawnmower beer competition. So that crisp, clean, you know, like super refreshing summer drinking beer that you have on hand. And then we'll be doing the Fruited Favorite competition, because we know a lot of these folks have been kicking out some nice fruity fun stuff for the summertime, too. So one big thing we had to look at was how we were going to hold the competitions this year. And the BJCP rulings, their guidelines have gotten a lot stricter with COVID. Getting together the group of, you know, the amount of people that we needed up here for certified judges was going to be a very big challenge. So just for this festival, we decided to turn it to the audience. And so folks will have a chance to go around, taste the beers, and vote for their favorite.
So it's going to be a people's choice this for this festival.
Yeah, just for this festival.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So obviously, like you say, there's going to be some there's limitations dealing with travel and people and everything.
Mm-hmm. So obviously we're already gearing up for January 2022. We will be back at the Denina Center. We are going to have the full-on barley wine competition going. But I can't wait that long. I'm ready to drink some beer now.
Well, that sounds good. So why don't you describe the arrangements? I understand there's going to be two sessions, and what are ticket prices look like, and what do you get when you pour your money, that sort of stuff, all the gory details.
Yep. So we have what we call the general session, and that's going to run on Saturday, and it's going to be August 21st is the date for both sessions. That one, the general session, is going to run from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and that's $45, gets you in the door. It gets you 20 4-ounce sample tickets, so you can go find your 20 favorites around there, and that's quite a chunk of beer. So you can find plenty of fun stuff to drink. It's going to get you live music for the general session. We have live music with the Jangle Bees, which is a local favorite. There's going to be plenty of room for dancing and spacing out over there. We have a lineup of food trucks, so you can get some food in your belly as you're going out. And we kind of handpicked our favorites. We were tough like that. So it's all really super good, fun food. Scott Clint Daniel has designed our commemorative T-shirt for the year. So he's actually going to be there on site. If you don't know Scott Clint Daniel, he's an amazing local artist that's very beer-centric, to say the least. So he'll be on site with some of his stuff. We're going to have the cornhole boards. We're going to have some fun lawn games out there. We're inviting people to bring their patio chairs or lawn chairs, or if they want to have a seat during the festival, you can just come on out, join us on the grass, have a good time, and drink some beer. With each ticket in for both sessions, we do have a commemorative glass for the year. However, with COVID COVID demands, we have to use one-use glasses. So you'll get a plastic cup when you go up to do your tasting. But as you leave the festival, you'll be handed your commemorative glass to take home with you. And because it didn't have to be a tasting size, we have a nice, big, beautiful 16-ounce glass.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. We have the general session going, but we also have the connoisseur session for those that are really into the beer world. And that one's going to happen from noon to 3 o'clock that day. The difference between that one and the general session is we're doing a lot fewer ticket sales. It's going to be a third fewer tickets. So we'll have, very, very much so shorter lines, a better chance to talk with the brewers that are going to be there. Also, the breweries will have a very special beer just for that session only. So this is where the fun stuff comes out. The band that's playing that session is I Like Robots, that are familiar and dig the 80s and 90s. And it's going to be a super fun session. So depending upon what kind of experience you want, I think Friday or the Saturday night will be a little bit more of a party. And the connoisseur session, the Saturday day session, is for the beer nerd that really wants to go out. They want to find the different things. They want to spend a little more time with those brewers and kind of ask questions. This is the session for them.
Oh, it all sounds great. So you talked about the January festival. It's going to happen again as kind of as normal. Do you think you're going to continue doing an August festival next year, or is this just how plans are? This just a one-off? What's the feeling about that?
That actually just came up at our meeting, and it's something we're going to look at after the festival happens. Putting on something like this, I mean, you know, if it's up to Peak to Peak as an events committee, like, we would love to throw beer festivals all day long. But we do have to look at the market and see how saturated it is. We want to make sure that the breweries aren't being overly taxed. We want to make sure it's feasible before we just jump in and say, yes, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
So, well, is it a possibility? Absolutely.
I asked the question from a semi-selfish point of view, seeing as how the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival is the weekend beforehand. So,
yep.
You know, if it was, that was going to be the situation every year, I don't know how, you know, a lot of the brewers don't like to have too many festivals too close to each other. Yep. Yeah.
We had to take a really careful look at when we planned this date. Because there, and it's true, there's so many other festivals going on. I mean, we've got Salmon Fest and then the Kenai Peninsula Brewers Festival, and we'll be right up after that one. One of the reasons we did pick this date was because for breweries that are coming up from the lower 48, it gives an opportunity to be here for Kenai and then stay the week during their sales stuff and then hang out for ours at the end. So it was kind of it could help them double up. We've had a really good response from the local breweries, obviously getting ready to come up. So We'll see how it ends up.
This year, everybody is so anxious just to go to a festival that it's not a problem. It's just, you know, when you start going into the long term, then some people are like, oh, I can't do them back to back kind of things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and I think back to, you know, when I was working at Midnight Sun, you know, we did 2 to 3 beer festivals every month. Mm-hmm. So pretty much I was traveling 2 to 3 weekends for the entire summer. Yeah. And that can get to be a lot. And I know Midnight Sun, you know, has the capabilities to do that. A lot of these breweries just don't have the manpower.
Right.
And, you know, even the smaller guys may not even have the beer to kick out for that many.
Yep. Yep.
So we want to be really careful about, you know, oversaturating the market with it.
Yeah. So looking ahead, first off, I mentioned the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. Any chance you'll make it down here for that?
I am actually trying. We're going to see. I have like one thing that may hinder me from it, but that has been one of my favorite festivals for a long time. I think that one and Frozen River Festival are just like tops. So I'm trying to get down for that one.
Yeah, they should both be good. I'm looking forward to again after our year without either of them. So it was a dark year. So anything else going on with the BGA that you feel like our listeners should know about? You guys got any other plans or anything in the works?
So the BGA has kind of the three big festivals that they do are the Beer and Barley Wine Festival. And we already mentioned that's going to happen 2022. We'll see you in January for sure. Then they also have what's called the AK Crafted. And that one started about 5 or 6 years ago. And it was originally done in front of Willowa. And so And I moved over to Chilcoot Charlie's the last time we did it. And so we're going to have that one back up and ready to go. What's kind of fun about that festival is it's local breweries only, and it's kind of a gathering time for the local breweries to get together. They actually get to do a trade show ahead of time, so they get to meet with a bunch of the beer vendors. There's some technical classes for them there, and then this is like the festival is kind of the culmination. This year, they're adding in a beer awards ceremony. So over the next couple of months, the breweries will be sending in their beers for the first ever Alaska Beer Awards.
Oh, cool.
So watch for AK Crafted coming up in October in Anchorage.
Okay, October this year.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great. Okay. And then so what's the third one? You mentioned the two.
The third one is the Rare Beer Festival, and we're still working on that one.
Okay.
That one was that was scheduled to happen literally the week that COVID shut everybody up here down, back in 2020. And that one is a very special festival that you have to have rare beer to get in. It can't be something that's on your tap lines every day. So breweries are bringing very special cellar pours or doing a very special cast or stuff like that. And it's also a very, very small crowd. They do less than 200 people for that. So we're still looking for a venue for that one, but keep an eye out for it because that is the true beer nerd favorite.
Rough framework springtime, if you said, because it was when everything was shut down last year. So that's when you're looking at next.
Yeah, I think we're shooting for spring.
Next year in spring. Okay. Well, those all sound wonderful, Darcy. So we'll all keep our eyes peeled for them. So if people want to get to go to the festival on the 21st, where do they get tickets?
Tickets are available right now on myalaskatix.com, and you can find it under festivals, and there's a link for the connoisseur session or a link for the general session. You can pick either one.
Sounds great. I think it's going to be a great festival, so I'm not sure everybody's going to enjoy themselves a ton. So
we're excited to have you guys up. So hopefully we'll get to see you and have a beer.
All righty. Well, hey, Darcy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We appreciate it. And we'll see you at the festivals.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. For our final segment today, let's talk beer gear. I've got two new books to recommend in this month's beer gear. The first is Celis Beer, Born in Belgium, Brewed in Texas, by Jeremy Banas. It's the story of Pierre Celis, a former milkman in the small village of Hoegaarden, Belgium. He opened a brewery there that brought back the extinct wit beer style of his native Hoegaarden and rejuvenated an old-world tradition throughout Belgium and Europe. Following the destruction of his first brewery in a devastating fire, the godfather of wit beer sold his Hoegaarden brand to Heineken, moved to America, and set up a new brewery in Austin, Texas, where his passion took fresh shape in the form of Celis beer and influenced an entire generation of American beer lovers. Banas' excellent research fleshes out many details and shows how one man with a vision can revive an extinct beer style and enable it to become one of the most popular in the world. The book is published by the History Press and retails for about $18 in paperback. The second book I'd like to recommend this month is entitled Drunk: How We Sipped, Danced, and Stumbled Our Way to Civilization by Edward Slingerland. In it, the author tries to offer a convincing answer to the question of why we humans want to get high in the first place. Drawing on evidence from archaeology, history, cognitive neuroscience, psychopharmacology, social psychology, literature, and genetics, Slingerland shows that our taste for chemical intoxicants is not an evolutionary mistake, as we are so often told. In fact, intoxication helps solve a number of distinctly human challenges, enhancing creativity, alleviating stress, building trust, and pulling off the miracle of getting fiercely tribal primates to cooperate with strangers. Our desire to get drunk, along with the individual and social benefits provided by drunkenness, played a crucial role in sparking the rise of the first large-scale societies. We would not have civilization without intoxication. From marauding Vikings and bacchanalian orgies to sex-starved fruit flies, blind cave fish, and problem-solving crows, Drunk is packed with fascinating case studies and engaging science, as well as practical takeaways for individuals and communities. The result is a captivating look at humanity's oldest indulgence, one that explains not only why we want to get drunk, but also how it might actually be good for us to do so now and then. It's available in hardback for about $23 or in Kindle for $15. Well, that's about it for this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. Hope you've enjoyed our show. Hope to see you at some of the big beer festivals coming up here in August. And until next time, here's a quote from the great W.C. Fields. "A woman drove me to drink, and I didn't even have the decency to thank her." Until next time, cheers.
Your thirst. Beers of Alaska.